But right now, we have our special guest in studio.
Look at this. Mike just wanders out in the hall and stumbles on friend. Ice cube.
Figured I'd bring him in.
Yeah.
No, you don't need those.
Of course I do.
No, you don't.
I got to make sure that everything sounds so clear.
We don't have one set of headphones that are good enough to actually give you. This is a Cumulus station.
Yes.
All right.
You'd be embarrassed by all the headphones.
We're going to go headphoneless.
Welcome in Ice Cube, the man, the legend. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
That's Donnie.
What's
I'm
up,
Norm.
Donnie?
That's Mike.
What's up, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Feeling pretty good, man.
Good, good.
You should be feeling pretty good also, man.
We have
so much to talk to you about, man. Let's get started with the big three. We have the playoffs tonight.
Yes, sir.
At the AAC. Now, I wanted to know what's the difference in your eyes between years one and two. You had this idea. It's conceptualized. Year one seemed very successful, and now year two seems to be blowing it out of the water.
Yeah, well, I mean, year one, we had to introduce what the sport was, you know, not only to, you know, the sports world, but even to our own players. You know, we had to really introduce this new game with these rules. Last year we were crawling, you know, this year we're walking, you know, guys, they know what to expect now. They came back, they were in shape. You know, we're live on Fox now, which is incredible because, last year we were tape delayed. We played on Sundays and replayed it on Monday. So, you know, I think the league has taken a leap forward. We've added, you know, bigger names, you know, Mari Stoudemire, Nate Robinson, Drew Gooden, Meta World Peace. So, you know, I just think the league has, you know, done what we needed to do to take that next step. But we still got work to do. You know, we still got, you know, awareness. You know, we're looking to just grow the league. We want to expand next year and hopefully play two nights a week, with 12 teams, which is three games a night. So, you know, we're looking to do things to try to make sure people are looking forward to the big three next summer.
Did you get the response at first that you thought you were going to get when it first came out?
It was hot and cold. You know, it's hot and cold. Some people, they could see the vision from day one. Some people needed to be explained a little more. And some people just didn't believe I could pull it off. And was like, nah. So, you know, you really had to figure out who was an ally and who was going to help you bring this vision to light, because nobody really wants to help you year one, because nobody wants to be part of something that don't work. So everybody's like, okay, you know, prove it. And no, it was like, show me.
Right.
Show me you can do it. Mm. And after that, you know, this year's, okay, prove that wasn't a fluke. And, you know, hopefully next year we've, you know, crossed, you know, a turning point with the league, and we, you know, went over the hump, and people are looking forward to the big three.
There are a lot of ballers in this world, and the NBA can only control 15 a team, 450 of them.
Yes.
There are lots of guys who used to be good and aren't quite good enough because of age to continue playing in the league. After you proved you could pull this off for a year, how many texts or messages or did people send notes through friends saying, hey, by the way, I'm available to play in your league next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's constantly.
MJ?
you know, year one, MJ... you know, talked to our commissioner at the time and was like, I can't play because I'm a owner. So he was thinking about it. You know what I mean? He was definitely thinking about it.
Is Kobe still that big fish you're trying to land?
He's one of them. You know, but I think Tim Duncan would be a big fish, and KG and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. You know, these are big fish, too, that's out there that I know. You know, when you see this, you got to get the itch.
Have you sent LeBron a contract for the 2024 season?
Not yet. You know, hopefully by then, you know, guys are contacting me, you know, ready to play, to step right off of NBA court onto the big three court. But, you know, it's guys, you know, when it comes to, you know, being in the NBA or not, sometimes it's not age or ability. Sometimes it's just a team wants to turn the page. You know, we have young guys who I think are still, you know, be on the NBA roster. And so, you know, sometimes guys just don't have their shot or lose their shot for some reason. And it's cool to have a big three here so they can show that they still love and continue to play basketball at a high level.
Over your life, you've created ideas in all sorts of areas. You've created ideas in music. You've created ideas in movies. Now you've created an idea here. Where did this idea come from? Could you trace this to a literal point that this idea started to take shape?
Yes. Well, I've always loved 3-on-3 basketball. I mean, I played that mostly growing up, more than 5-on-5. And most people who are not professional or college players, you know, end up playing more 3-on-3 than 5-on-5. So I had always seen these amateur tournaments, you know, like Mountain Dew or
Hoop It Up.
Hoop It Up was huge around here. Yeah.
But I'm like, why isn't it elevated to the professional level? You know, why is it in the parking lot and not in the arena? And so that idea lay dormant for years. And then Kobe scored 60 points in his last basketball game, and I'm not there. And I'm kind of, you know, PO'd that I can't see him play no more. You know what I mean? I can't see him ball out no more. Like, I've been paying to see this dude play for 20 years, and now it's over. And I didn't like that, because if you could score 60 points in an NBA game, you could still play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the ideas kind of intersected. Like, yo, 3-on-3, professional, elevated inside the arena, but we're going to use former NBA players who can still ball. And that's how it became a good idea, you know, and an idea that could actually work, because these guys have built up a humongous fan base. And when they're out the NBA, it's kind of, you know, gone in a way. It's people like me everywhere that want to still know what these guys are doing, what they're about, and still see them play. And so that's kind of how it started.
You didn't ever think about joining this yourself, right?
Are you crazy?
But everyone thinks they can ball and they can hang.
Not at
everyone.
This level. Man, please. Well, come out there tonight and watch this.
No.
I've watched. In person. And you'll realize that, you know, it's those dudes are special. They're on a whole nother level and they go hard.
No, I want to talk about music and movies for sure. But, you know, when you have that idea, when you conceptualize that idea and you say, okay, this is 3-on-3 basketball, I've played that the whole time. You don't know if you're going to get all the professionals playing. You write a movie, you produce it, you star in it. I was just thinking, man, you have this idea about 3-on-3. Maybe I can get in and show what I got.
I ain't that crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm crazy, but not that crazy.
All right. So you meet a lot of people, Ice Cube, that will walk up to you and say, when I first heard Straight Outta Compton, the album, it just changed my life musically. It wowed them, mouth wide open. Now, I want to know what song or album, when you first heard it, you thought, oh my gosh, this music right here is something that's blowing my mind.
Parliament Funkadelic. You know, George Clinton is, he's like an alien or something. You know what I mean? He's
right.
From another... He's light years ahead of his time still. And so that music right there is the music that opened my mind up and opened my mind to the possibilities of what entertainment can be and look like. And it doesn't have to be traditional. It doesn't have to be straight down the pipe. And then he produced another artist that I love, Roger and Zap. You know, when I heard More Bounce to the Ounce,
right,
it was a whole new world for me. And so, you know, I love George Clinton. And so that music that he produced, Parliament Funkadelic, I tune it up, and it will change your perspective on what entertainment can be. So, you know, that's, you know, some of the things that, that really turned me on.
When did you realize that your writing skills were good enough to put out hits?
Well, I helped write a song about a dance called the Cabbage Patch Dance with the World Class Wrecking Crew, which Dr. Dre was a part of.
Right.
And he used my lyrics, and it really gave them their first major hit in L.A. You know, we were trying to get on the radio in our own hometown. They wouldn't even play them songs. But I wrote this song with him, and it became a hit. And so that gave me confidence that I can write. And then I started to really get on the mic and not just write, but also rhyme.
I was watching an Unsung on TV1 about Big Daddy Kane.
Yes.
And he remembered his first rhyme. I think he said he wrote it down and he heard someone else rhyme and he tore it up and threw it out because it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Now, when you were writing coming up, you really didn't have gangster rap out there. It was either really kind of party raps about dances, like you said, about the Cabbage Patch, or kind of message raps like Public Enemy or Eric B. and Rakim and all that. Do you remember the first rhyme you wrote as far as a kid? Okay.
My name is Ice Cube, and I want you to know I'm not Run DMC or Curtis Blow. That was my first line I ever wrote. But as far as, you know, the hardcore rhymes, you know, we didn't call it gangster rap then, but it was some hardcore MCs. You know, I think about an MC named Just Ice. He would go hard. Schoolie D would go hard. You know, Ice-T was still, you know, going hard. He was an underground rapper in L.A. So it was a few. And people forget that, you know, KRS-One, you know, Criminal Minded is one of those, you know, hardcore records early back in the day too. So, you know, it was some influences around, but nobody really was totally, you know, I guess committed to, you know, what was going on in South Central Compton and Watts as much as I guess us and Ice-T.
Your songs have language that can be very harsh and very difficult for some people to listen to, some of the words.
Yes.
You have 4 children.
Yeah.
Do you let them listen to your music when they were young? Did you let them listen to your music?
I didn't have a choice. You know, I would come in and they was playing it. You know.
Did they ask you, what does that mean, Daddy?
Yeah, I mean, I told them, you know, that's the difference. You know, you can try to, you know, I guess, protect your kids from, you know, the ills of the world. But at a certain point, you're going to have to tell them the truth, or they'll tell you the truth. So, you know, I felt like, you know, age appropriate, I could tell them anything. And it was up to me to know how much they can handle and how much they can't. But if they stumbled into something that I didn't think they can handle, it was really up to me to explain to them what it really was and give them a quick lesson. You know, I believe, you know, and my mom's used to really get on me, like, why you got to rap like this? You know, why I got to be you? You know what I mean? I don't hear nobody else rapping like this. So, and I'm like, first of all, you don't listen to a lot of rap songs, so you don't really know what's popping out there. Second, this is my style. This is my flavor. And I don't want to rap and censor myself. You know, what good is that? You know, what good is a rapper that censors himself? You know, you want to be a rapper that tell it like a T.I. is, and that's who I wanted to be, and that's why I rhyme the way I do.
In Straight Outta Compton, the movie, it depicts you as going almost nowhere without the notebook and the pencil. And I was wondering, do you still have those original notebooks where you're scribbling out all those original songs that became so iconic and changed the industry forever?
Yeah. You know, we do keep what we call the archives, which is, you know, the books and the, you know, the tapes and the demos and all the little stuff. You know, I keep a lot of that stuff, you know, the promotional items, things that I know, you know, today might not mean nothing, but, you know, you look back 10, 20 years, you know, I still got the original Friday script, you know.
Yeah, that already means something today.
Yeah, you
You're
know,
good.
So.
You don't have
so,
to wait.
So, but I'm just saying, you know, when I first did it in 95, I would have, you know, if I wasn't thinking, I'd throw it away. But
right.
But now, you know, it's pretty valuable. I still had a first Boys in the Hood script that I got from John Singleton. Man. Things like that.
All right, the Big Three is happening tonight at the AAC. It's the playoffs. Power and Tri-State going after it, and then Three-Headed Monsters and Three's Company are going at it in the other playoff matchup.
But it's four games tonight.
Right.
It is four games.
I want to talk movies with you when we come back.
Okay.
Because there's no way that Friday was your original idea to say, I'm going to write a movie, bam, and you put out this cult classic. I'm pretty sure you had other ideas that kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
I want to know those and everything else. And one of my favorite movies is Players Club, and I want to talk about that also. So
yeah.
We'll come back with Ice Cube. That's next on The Invasion on The Ticket.
Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my pager still blowing up. Today, I didn't even have to use my AK. I got to say it was a good day. And I have to say that's the first time I've read one of your lyrics on the air.
It's always a good day when you don't have to use your AK. It's always a good day.
We are in studio with Ice Cube. The Big Three is at the AAC tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. The games will be live on Fox, but you should get to the AAC if you can. I want to talk movies with you, Cube.
Yes.
Did you think, as you sat down and wrote Friday, that two words out of that movie would still be relevant right now, as anyone whose name is Felicia has been told by in the last year or two?
That was the last thing I would think those lines would do. Like that, you know, you can never predict what lines are gonna, you know, like stand the test of time. You got, you know, lines like, you know, make my day.
Right.
You know, you got lines like show me the money. You know what I'm saying? These lines that, you know, that you think are going to roll out. I mean, we got some cool lines from Friday that's, you know, incredible. So you never think it's going to be like by Felicia. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's just an incredible phenomenon to me that those, you know, that's that dismissive, you know, kind of line is on t-shirts now, and everybody named Felicia look at me cross-eyed. Like, you know, you did this to me.
Right. So you wrote the script to Friday. I read somewhere where you had two scripts that you wrote before that didn't quite make it. Do you remember the subject of those movies?
Yeah, they was pretty hardcore movies. They was not comedies.
Okay.
They weren't 3-on-3 basketball based?
Nah. But they weren't good, you know. They just missed the mark. You know, I didn't know, you know, character arcs and, you know, secondary plots and, you know, all these things you need to do. I just started from scratch, you know, just kind of winged it, you know, my first two scripts. And then Friday was my third attempt, and I wrote it with my guy DJ Pooh, and we was just, you know, we would be in the studio making records, but we would spend all our time just laughing about people and things and stuff. And In Living Color was big on TV, which was a comedy, you know, sketch comedy show. Robert Townsend had a movie out called Hollywood Shuffle.
My favorite movie of all time.
Which was funny, you know, about just trying to, you know, get into Hollywood as a black actor. And it was, you know, we heard he done it like with credit cards.
Right.
He's like borrowed the money and the movie costs, you know, 175 grand or something. So we like, yo, let's write it. You know, a cheap movie too that don't cost a lot, and you know, and do what Robert Townsend did. And so, you know, we started to write a movie about two dudes on their porch tripping off how crazy their neighborhood is, and because that's what, you know, I would do all the time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so that became the gist, and it's a trip because pretty much everything that happened in the movie Friday has happened like on my block at some point in time. So it was just all kind of squished into a movie. And it was funny.
There's always the Miss Parker of the neighborhood.
Yes,
there's
yes.
I don't know about the Debo, though. So did you know Tiny Lister, like, when you were writing the script, or did he audition?
No, I knew Tiny.
Okay.
I knew Tiny, and he had done some, like, wrestling work, like, with the WWF.
Yeah.
It was called the WWF.
No Holds Barred.
No, yeah, yeah. So he, you know, he was, you know, starting to act and stuff, and, you know, we needed a Debo. To, you know, scare the hell out of everybody.
You were born O'Shea Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The world knows you as Ice Cube.
Yes.
Are O'Shea Jackson and Ice Cube two different people, or are they two different names for one person?
It's pretty much two different names for one person. You know, one's my government name, one is my nickname. And now, see, I used to be able to hide O'Shea Jackson. Like, most people didn't really know that until my son, he kind of spoiled that because he uses his real name. He's O'Shea Jackson Jr. So, you know, that's just out the bag.
When you travel, do you travel as O'Shea Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, when you file your income tax return.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Ice Cube on the W-9.
Hotel reservation or restaurant, he probably goes with Ice Cube.
Is there anywhere in the world you've gone where people don't know the other half of that person, Ice Cube?
I went to South Africa years ago, 1994? I'm looking for help from my guys, but I think it was 94, 93. And a few people knew who I was, but I could actually, like, go to the mall, walk around, no problems.
Nobody that's probably looking over, at me. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's just, you know, that was before the internet. It was so big. And so a few people did recognize me, though, you know, even in that situation. But, you know, I was ready to just, you know, do everything. I kind of had a ball just, you know, being normal.
So when you got Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was an incredible experience. And that's when Singleton kind of nudged you and said, man, you write music all the time. You can write a movie.
Yeah.
But what was the goal, I guess, after you did Boys in the Hood, was it like, man, that was fun. We can try to keep starring in movies. Or was the goal to be this worldwide famous writer, producer, director, actor that you are right now?
I mean, it wasn't what you just said. It was more like, oh, that was a great experience. You know, you got to understand, like, Boys in the Hood, my first movie, they pick it up in the Cannes Film Festival in France. So it's like, yo, we in France, you know, showing this movie. I remember showing the movie in France thinking, these French dudes ain't gonna know what the hell's going on in South Central Los Angeles. This is a waste of time, right? The subtitles. I'm like, what's going on, right? So after the movie, we got a standing ovation. You know, I'm looking, Eddie Murphy's there, you know, Quincy Jones is there, all these big stars. I'm like, yo, this is kind of cool, you know. With NWA, everybody hate me, you know what I'm saying? But with this movie, you know what I mean? You know, there's love, you know, for the character and for what I did. People think I can act, you know, let's keep it going. But then I didn't want to just be an actor. You know, I didn't want to just have somebody say, you stand there and do that, and you stand there and do that. And I didn't have a chance to be in the edit bay, to you know, deal with the music, I wanted to be a producer. I wanted to deal with all aspects of the movie and putting it together, because I hated when things didn't come out the way I thought they should, when they should have zagged. So I wanted to be behind the scenes and be in control of the whole project, so it could actually be my vision and not, you know, because that's how I do my records. You know, I don't have an A&R or producer or anybody telling me what to do, you know. So, you know, I just wanted to have more control over the finished product.
How long did it take for you to get that eye for it? Because we all think that our, you know, we would want what we want, but our vision isn't what everyone else wants.
I've had it for a while, you know, because we did our own videos and we we wrote him, and we picked a director, and we was in the edit bay when they cut him, and we were, you know, I was producing before I even knew what a producer do, you know, just having to be hands on. So when I got to doing movies, I was like, yo, I want to be hands on too. I don't want to just be a piece in this dude's puzzle. I want to be in there with when they making the sausage, man. I want to see how it's made.
America's Most Wanted, your first solo album, is, I had a roommate in college that played that on a loop religiously.
Yes.
And I thought when you put out Once Upon a Time in the Projects, that story, which I love raps that tell stories, mm-hmm. was so funny. I wonder if that's some of the times where it clicked that you said, all right, not only can we do this as gangster rap, but we can make some really funny songs around here also.
I mean, we was always into comedy. You know, if you, those records are hard, but if you really listen, you know, you can tell that we in the studio laughing and having fun.
Right.
And so it was like inevitable for us to understand that comedy and music has the same impact as, you know, the hardcore, you know, language or the subject matter. You know, you get a cool reaction when you mix the super hard with the super comedic.
What do your friends call you? Do they call you Ice? Do they call you Cube? Do they call you O'Shea?
Some of them call me Cube.
All right.
Some of them call me Don, which is like a sub nickname, meaning Don Mega. And you know, yeah, it's either Cube or Don or...
What does your wife call you?
O'Shea.
There you go.
Yeah, she called me O'Shea.
You know, when you reach mega, 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 mega star, do you ever stop and look at the stuff on internet? Some of the stuff that's just basic, like Wikipedia?
No, I don't really, you know, they've lied on me so much.
Well, I just want to know the last time you saw your picture of yourself as a high school senior.
Yeah.
How about that one? You, huh?
Yeah, you see... Yeah, man, you know, Prince, Michael Jackson, they had a heavy influence on us. Thank God for hip-hop.
The curl was happening, right?
Thank God for hip-hop.
So know. When I grew up, I was a huge NWA fan. I was just listening to Death Certificate last night, and I figured, who better than you to ask the ultimate question? Alone in my car, am I allowed to sing these whole songs?
Yeah.
That's okay?
Them. Yeah, why not?
But anyone else in my car, I can't.
I mean, you can sing them. They songs.
He always looks at me sideways, and they come on, and then I mute myself, and I don't know what to do now.
Man, you got us. Well, you got to, I mean, you know, that sounds like a personal problem. Man.
No, yeah, I have to ask.
That's all I got to deal with. The song is out there, so they out there to be sung. You know, right. I go to a rap concert. I don't want nobody muting themselves. You know, rap it.
All right.
Make it happen.
So concert, you have a show tomorrow. Toyota
yes.
Music Factory. I'll
yes.
be there. It's the first time I've ever seen you in concert. I don't know why I've waited this long.
But you have fun.
I'm
going through all the
it.
Hits from Straight Outta Compton, NWA, all the way to now.
Oh my God.
You know, I'm not the dude who come and do all the new stuff
right.
that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my whole catalog. We got Bun B out there, you know, another Texas favorite. So, you know, we're going to be out there doing our thing.
Man, we really appreciate the time. Big three tonight at the AAC. Go check out the playoffs. Go
yes.
check out Ice Cube tomorrow night at the Toyota Music Factory. And check out all the movies. Players Club is always a stop down when it comes on. I love that movie, man.
You nasty.
Okay, maybe so. Maybe I've lived that life a little bit. That's okay. I'll accept it. Why We Thugs is one of my favorite tunes that you
Thank
put
you.
Out, man.
Yeah,
I think
we're
going
to do that tomorrow.
Oh, that's
do that
what I'm
tomorrow.
Talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You might want to call me up there. I may know all the words, but I'll probably freeze up. Yeah, I think he's good. I think he can handle it. Hey, appreciate the time, man. Thank you very
much.
Thanks
for having me, man.
That is Ice Cube, Big 3 tonight at the AAC. He has a show tomorrow at the Toyota Music Factory.